The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Peter Burke is Minister for Enterprise, Tourism and Employment. He's a Fine Gael TD for Longford West Meath. And he's with me in studio. Minister, you're welcome to the show. What can you tell me about this trade mission happening in October and what you hope will be the future for it?
So we're embarking upon our second Team Ireland trade mission, which will have a whole of government approach with the Taoiseach and other key ministers. Essentially, if you look over the last decade, our trade has increased about 308% with Canada. It's about 10 billion euro at this point in time, 8 billion in exports, 2 billion in imports. And we see a huge amount of opportunity there now. We have two consulate generals additional implemented out there, and the marketplace is pretty strong. And in the current geopolitical uncertainty and the trade tensions that are currently on the horizon, we think there is significant opportunity in Canada.
Yeah, so in what sense should we be interpreting all of this in the context of who inhabits the White House just down the road?
I think it's a key factor. There is no doubt. You'll see that at this point in time, a number of months ago, I established a separate unit in Enterprise Ireland looking at our 950 firms, Indigenous firms, who export to the US. They cover about 60,000 jobs. They're 20% of the 36.75 billion euro that's exported through Enterprise Ireland. And we established a market discovery fund looking at the 41 trade agreements that the EU currently has with 72 countries. There's a huge amount of opportunity still. And to diversify risk in the midst of all this uncertainty, it's prudent that we would look at other markets. Notwithstanding that, the US will be a very important and most important marketplace for Ireland.
And when you're going abroad, say with this Team Ireland trade mission to Canada this time, and there'll be hopes, and we'll talk about where else you might go in the future, because I know the aspiration is it becomes an annual thing. Is the premise that you're there to encourage Canadian business to look at Ireland as a potential place to set up shop in Europe? Or is it the other way you're looking at things? Are you looking at this as a market for Irish exports, or both?
So it's both. So essentially both Enterprise Ireland and the IDA will be very much linked in the process, whereby we would firstly meet a number of existing clients that are Canadian backed, that have operations here in Ireland. We'd be looking to expand, be it RD&I activity. We've about 400% increase in the last decade in research and development. And obviously that's the best way to get your next product lines. And we'd have also be looking at potential clients that may come into the marketplace and the key sectors that IDA really target. And also then we'd have a number of Indigenous based firms who are exporting, who have set up operations, some of them in Canada, and we'd be working closely with those trying to get additional business and also to build them into the supply chains of some of our multinationals, because sometimes that's a piece of the jigsaw that we miss. If you look in Ireland, if you take some of the big semiconductor companies, some of them could have over 800 small SMEs embedded in their supply chain processes, and they could be from Banagher Concrete to Kiernan Steel in Longford, some very regional jobs. And we want to continue on that strong link as well in the Indigenous sector with the FDI working hand in hand.
And so this is the second year of this, the second iteration of this trip. The hope is it will become an annual thing, is it?
Absolutely. And we'd have seen from Korea the progress that was made, particularly with tertiary education at that time, with links with Seoul University, and also with getting our agri-foods into Korea. That was very important and it was achieved. So there was a number of milestones that were achieved from the first iteration, and now we'll be targeting those key sectors again. And also looking at tourism and other opportunities, because the tourism market is very important in North America as well.
So where else would you be looking for beyond Canada? Where's next?
So we'll be looking at potentially India. That's going to be a key marketplace for us. Obviously, the Asia-Pacific region is also very important. We have increased our presence there. You will see last week where the Taoiseach, or the week before, was in Japan. He opened Ireland House, which is very significant in terms of our footprint there. That's a very important marketplace. We have about 8,000 jobs supported here by 44 IDEA companies from Japan. And also, we have a huge amount of companies exporting into the Japanese market. So again, it's looking at areas where we can get additional opportunities, and that's going to be important because competition is fierce. Now, if you look now in terms of FDI, you have the Singapores of this world, you have Poland in the EU, a fierce competitor of ours.
Yeah.
We are the single most competitive economy in the Eurozone now, but to maintain that is going to be a challenge. And that's why, obviously, in the next couple of weeks, I'll bring forward my action plan on competitiveness as well, trying to improve our efficiency and improve our infrastructure.
And let's say you're in Canada, you're in Calgary, Ottawa, Toronto, Vancouver, wherever it happens to be, and somebody says, listen, I'm looking at setting up shop. I want to expand into Europe. You guys are English speaking. You've got a kind of a tax regime I can live with. I've got concerns about infrastructure and housing infrastructure in particular, and where I'm going to put my employees? And, you know, people around the country will be familiar with this. I know you've mentioned parts of your constituency where I am. You know, I know there's been a big new Abbott pharmaceutical plant has opened, which is great for the area. But I know they've got difficulty trying to get people to work because there's nowhere for them to live.
Because it's interesting, the most prominent thing that's raised with me is talent. You know, our most prized resource as a country is our talent. We have at this point in time, depending on the sector you look at, we have 8% of our graduates are in the ICT sector. That's double the EU average. We have the highest per capita rate of graduates in the STEM category from 20 to 39 age grouping. And again, that's a rich vein of talent that FDI companies look for. Yes, housing is raised. And we know that what I would be pointing out clearly is which will at that point in time, we'll have our new housing policy to continue our pipeline to ensure that we are reducing red tape, which has been critical in the sector, and trying to get more affordable housing into and high quality units into the marketplace.
If these are high income jobs, they'll probably be all right on the housing front. They'll be able to afford somewhere, but they might push out somebody else.
Well, that's always the work in trying to increase the number of housing units into the economy. And we're working right across government to do that. And you'll see the initiatives that have been taken in a myriad of areas over the last number of weeks. Memo after memo being brought to Cabinet, singularly focused on getting high quality units into the marketplace, reducing red tape and trying to incentivise development. And we have a lot of work that will be done over the budgetary process as well and when we launch our housing action plan, which will be in the next couple of weeks as well.
So we've got this work then happening to try and build these relationships with other trading partners and to expand the level of business we're doing. With regard to the United States, how much work is happening, you know, not necessarily at diplomatic level or at EU-US level or Irish-US level, but rather with those US companies who are already here or Irish companies who are working and have a footprint in the States to make sure that they have everything they need and that they're happy with how they're being treated, given the uncertainty?
So everything I do every day is meeting so many companies, be it our small family businesses, but also our multinational sector and very significant clients in our life science base, in our tech base, all across the economy and trying to ascertain what are the challenges. The US is just so
uncertain.
What
do they say are the challenges?
They don't know. And that's just the reality. The uncertainty that comes together over the last number of months is very concerning, particularly what happened over the last few days with the 30% announcement, because that's almost an Armageddon situation whereby at this point in time, if you were to put a 30% tariff, particularly if you look at agri-foods and drinks, where you have a stacking of tariffs that are already in existence, that this 30% would go on top of that, it would almost put the US market off limits for so many different sectors. And that's a huge concern. And obviously, they're voicing that concern, but they're voicing the concern of lack of coherence and certainty. And we thought we were in a lot better place a week ago, whereby we had the framework of an agreement where potentially, like the UK framework, a 10% tariff was going to be embedded in the system, but that we were going to get carve-outs for different sectors. And that's what we've been looking at. If you take, for example, aircraft leasing, 65% of the global aircraft are leased through Ireland. And it's the downstream activity and spare parts that are going to have a huge implication in relation to the goods tariff, like our life science as well. It's such an important sector, from diagnostics, med tech, pharma. All those key sectors provide huge jobs into the Irish economy that we're trying to get separate carve-outs to protect. But that's been very challenging. And it's uncertainty of a tweet is produced overnight. You wake up in the morning and see that 30% is there. And even the commission are blindsided and negotiators. So we just have to try and keep de-escalating if we can and try and get to a pathway where we can get sight of an agreement again.
Do you suspect that whatever happens over the next few months, and there is a huge degree of uncertainty, so it's anyone's guess, but let's imagine for a moment you end up with some sort of a deal, you know, that puts paid to 30% tariffs across the board, that the nature of the relationship between the EU and the US is changed forever.
It's very concerning, because the first thing on the horizon now is that the EU has published a €72 billion tariff response. We've only got details of the different codes and the different sectors.
Who's driving that? Which member states are hungrier for trade war?
To be fair, I suppose, in the first instance, that was about a €95 billion initial response, but they've reduced it for goods only, because the first input is on goods. So it already had been announced.
We would largely be regarded as doves, I think, wouldn't we?
But we try and get agreement
in terms of de-escalation.
Exactly, get agreement.
Who are the hawks in the room?
But there are other member states like the French Germans that will be looking at the fact that if you look at the metrics in the US, first of all, you know, they're going to have to increase their debt ceiling in the US economy. They're almost on the brink of doing that. The consumer price index is at a 10-year low. The dollar has had its worst 6 months since 1973. So the US is under pressure as well. And there are some member states will be saying we need to robustly go after the US because the last time from Liberation Day, the president and administration had to reverse in relation to the initial opening of reciprocal tariffs. But who knows what's going to happen right now? And this is where we're concerned in trying to, you know, protect key sectors. But the problem is, Kieran, when you talk about 30% of a tariff, you know, it's almost academic when you're talking about key sectors because, you know, trade will almost have been run down to a trickle at that stage.
Peter Burke, Minister for Enterprise, Tourism and Employment, Fine Gael TD for Longford West Meath. Minister, thanks a million for joining us here on the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.